fucking World of Warcraft, but that's what I'm doing this man.
So I only got up to like level 9 with my undead warrior. And when I last saw him was right before I got kicked out of a server because they were trying to do maintenance. And he was sitting on a ledge overlooking like whatever that that beginning area was. And there was a banshee right behind me that was like level 15 coming for my head.
Oh, shit. It's fucking... If you're logged back in, he's just dead.
Yeah.
He's not coming back, dog. He's fucking dead.
His undead body has rotted away forever.
God, the game's great. I don't care what anyone says. I've been playing the shit out of it, and it's fucking awesome. They changed a lot in Shadowlands. It's fucking
Yeah, dope. How is it? I've seen a couple of trailers for it, but I don't really know what's happening with it.
I haven't played like seriously since I would probably say Mists of Pandaria came out, so my experience was very bad because that's a bad expansion, besides like the mounts and shit like that, but it's good. It's fucking dope because like they fixed a lot of shit. The level cap's back to like 60 being the highest.
Oh yeah.
They changed that. They changed a lot of quality of life shit to where you can dump in a lot of time, but like I only play for like maybe 2 hours and I can do a lot. Like I can like fucking complete a quest line, get achievements and mounts and shit. Mm-hmm. But like a point of reference is that we got a house, which is also the fucking goddamn announcement. Whenever COVID ends, because Brandon's out there saving the world, whenever we can meet in person, we got a 3-bedroom spot, but it's actually in reality 4 because there's like an enclosed den that's like this big fucking living room. But the actual living room is going to be the Cutting Mat recording studio. Like full on foam fucking padded walls, a desk, a dedicated computer there, an interface, the whole fucking 9 awesome. Yards, dog. But for a while, it's going to be me just sitting there by my fucking self staring at a computer screen while we record podcasts. Jeez, yeah. That's fine. It's fine, though. It's fine. But I'm packing up the studio. The first thing, because we have it till the end of the month, and the last time I moved, it was a shit show of trying to pack and move everything I own, like 2 days, and it didn't go very well.
Jeez.
But we're gonna pack out the studio so I don't fucking distract myself with building models and painting miniatures all day.
Yeah, it's the first thing that's gonna be a fucking break.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing I looked at, too, is like, damn, like, it'd be a good little break. But mainly, I'm going to be playing World of Warcraft and making, like, a lot of shirt and sticker designs. But a lot of new Cutting Mat shit's coming out like this.
Yes.
Not a bonus episode, but I would say, like, a side episode thing we're going to do with me and Tino, where we talk about fucking conventions our experiences at conventions.
This is the Cutting Mat Gaiden convention exclusive.
It's a true chopping mat. it's just the two of us. I'll put that song in there. But to give a little bit of background, I think you've been doing conventions longer than I have, but
maybe just a couple years.
Yeah, I've only been doing it since I would say 2018, I think was the first Holy Mountain one.
2008. Yeah, I've been doing it since like 2012, 2013, somewhere around there.
God damn. Yeah, no shit. You're doing it longer than me, bud. What the fuck? That's so long. You're going to have a 10-year anniversary in like 2 years.
Yeah, I gotta check my math on that, but somewhere around there.
That's fucking insane. Yeah. But we've worked a lot of conventions together in the sense like we've done like obviously we've done panels at like Animazement, and shit like that together. But we've also been like booth buddies. This is going to be kind of like an insight. Oh, God, I just had so many flashbacks to like all the weird shit we see during like Logan and stuff.
Yeah.
This is going to be like your kind of secret look into the weird, almost carny like convention world that we're all missing out during these trying times.
Such a great way to put it.
I mean, because like the borderline, there's a lot of the same dudes just like showing up.
Yeah.
And they'll come from, it could be a fucking convention about lizards, and these dudes are gonna be there selling the same shit.
Yeah.
Over and over. They don't fucking care what the convention's about or who's there. They just like, they just set up their carny wares and they sell their swords and
as long as they shit. Can justify being there to the convention itself, then they will be able to get a table.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's, and this is like, this is gonna be, I don't know where the fuck we're gonna call this, but this is gonna be the because we're gonna have our significant others on here, because mm-hmm. they've both worked the conventions with us, and they've also have seen and dealt with some wild and fucking weird shit. And so this is going to be kind of like an inside look into that world. I mean, it does relate with scale modeling, because a lot of these conventions were scale modeling events too.
Yeah.
Oh God, that's disgusting. at least it wasn't like the first bonus episode where I died in my mouth. That's the one about Brock. I think it's like the second thing on Spotify. If you go listen to that.
Oh yeah. Tale. That was a good one. Y'all go listen to that.
That was great.
Pause this that right was... now. Go listen to that.
It's pretty short.
Come back.
Yeah.
Resume.
It's fucking great.
Okay, we'll wait.
We'll wait for you. Come back. So Tino.
Yes, Joel.
You start off mainly, I want you to start first because I got to take a swig of orange juice here. But let's I want to set a timeline, a kind of like a reference point for all the upcoming episodes that we can come back to and be like, oh yeah, this convention this year. And everyone will kind of have an idea sure. what we're talking about. So I want you to go first and kind of give your like origin tale of getting into conventions and some of the major ones we're going to talk about that you've ended at.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start out with, I was a part of this thing, this little like almost, like webtoons kind of thing with a buddy of mine. We were just like, oh hey, let's just draw cartoons together, and then eventually it became let's start selling stuff.
What year is this? Because webtoons is a very like like a very bold part of history, but it's not like it's not really around too much anymore, is it?
Webtoons? Oh dude, webtoons is exploding right now. Are you kidding me?
Oh well, fuck me, I guess. my bad.
Well no, just like webtoons, if I could be wrong about this, but like websites like webtoons anyway have spawned some new anime, like Power
shit.
Of God
what?
And God of High School. So like the and I'm going to be completely honest, it wasn't on webtoons, it was just a web comic, but like One Punch Man was a web comic before it became an anime as well.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, that shit's like starting to spiral out of control, and I love seeing it happen. But
that's dope as shit.
So it was an idea that kind of started in high school back in like 2004. What?
Yeah.
When did I go to high school? Anyway.
Yeah, when did you graduate?
I graduated 07, so this is...
Damn, I was 09, dog.
Whatever my freshman year was, I was in like a comic book club with a bunch of people. And then later on down the line, after graduation in high school and like being out in the workforce and like trying to figure out life in general, me and a buddy were just like, okay, let's like get together and do this thing again that was like the club, but it was really just the two of us for now. So we started doing comics, and we were like trying to publish together online, almost like web comics. And then at one point we built up enough of a backlog to justify like buying a table at Animazement.
Oh, so you both went in on your first table.
Yeah we split a table with another friend of his and had a pretty good run there, and it was kind of the same deal for a couple more years. So like maybe 2012 is when we did it, down to like 2014, and then he split off and went to do his own thing, and I ended up getting the table myself. And that's when Anna was helping me more and more. So,
yeah, because every time I've seen you at a convention, whether I'm working one or we're like hanging out, Anna's always there. Yep. But so the biggest thing at conventions, and anyone that's worked at convention will always tell you this, is like the how did you do question is always followed like, well, hey, at least you made your table money back. Oh my God. Kind of thing. Look, did you make your table money back like the first couple of years?
No, absolutely not.
And no one does.
No, I don't think anybody does. And it doesn't really have anything to do with how good you are. It's more,
let me rephrase that. We made our money, we made our table money back, but that's because like we're like an established company at
right.
the first.
Right.
Because you're set up in the artist alley, which is
So generally, people different. In the dealer's room do way better because they have like physical goods and like things that you can play with or wear. Artist alley is stuff that you hang up on your walls or you put into a little coffee table book or like you enjoy for yourself.
Yeah, kinda sometimes like it's like game creators and stuff.
Yeah,
like. Yeah, some like smaller merch vendors and shit.
And I mean, unless you're like a dealer, who's already got like a pre-established fan base that like everybody knows who they are, no one's gonna know who you are.
No, never.
And again, I'm gonna reiterate, it's not necessarily how good you are, because it doesn't matter how good you are, you're good. And I want you to get that into your head. You're good. All right, I'm backing up from
that. Yeah. everyone really understood that. It's
yes,
fine.
I needed that. It's what appeals to the people that like stop and take a look at what you have up on your display.
Yeah.
And if you get enough of those people, that's great. But I definitely did not make table money for a good handful of years.
Because there's a lot more that goes into it than just like your table fee.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with like, I mean, especially if you're doing art stuff, you're dealing with paying for prints, paying mm-hmm. for like buttons or like whatever your medium is.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the vendor, because like all my experience has been solely in the vendor side. But I've seen like literally DC Comics set up a booth and like no one give a shit about what's going on unless it's right. free.
Right.
It's a fucking wild fucking shanty town of fucking carny vendors and like struggling artists.
I love that.
It's wild, dude, because like it's something I've never really experienced before, except for like when I used to like kind of sell shit at the flea market. I was mm-hmm. more of like a toy picker kind of dude. And I mean, it's the same questions. Everyone's like, oh, how'd you do today? Oh, well, hey, at least you made your fucking lot space, you know, lot space fee. But,
that's a mindset that people need to start like leaving out at the door.
Cause it's not so much about, I mean, like it's a good thing if your fees are covered,
mm-hmm.
but like, a lot of these conventions, especially we learned being a vendor that for us, it was more important meeting all the different vendors and artists. It was actually more so we actually go to conventions, and I'm sure whenever conventions come back, this is something that people are going to like try and find us. But we always go to conventions to like find new artists.
Network, baby.
Yeah, it's all about like network. Like it's dope that we have a booth that we can like pay for our table, pay mm-hmm. for like our badges, pay for like our time for all the employees being there and shit. But the biggest thing for us is like networking and meeting different people and artists and all that shit.
Yeah.
So you've always been in like Artist Alley setups. Yep. And you kind of like went off on, I would say like on your own, because you're doing it as this like collective.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2014, you started doing the conventions like under your name, but like Anna was always just with you, helping out, fucking making sure you count people's money correctly and not,
oh my God,
not sleeping at the booth and all that kind of crazy shit. So like what, And that's been pretty much until fucking 2019, you guys do all these conventions together.
Yeah, and it wasn't until the last few years that I started doing more than just like an amazement or like one convention a year.
Yeah,
so we've like,
done, God, you went hard. 2018-19, those, I mean, those were, I remember being like, I was like, where's Tino? Probably at a fucking convention somewhere that I don't know about. Like
last year was the biggest year so far. It was like 7 or 8 conventions, maybe one or two more. Yeah. But like this year we were supposed to do like 15. Like we had finally like started going outside of further into Virginia, and we were going to start probing into South Carolina, been going to the mountains, been going to the West.
Yeah. So I was going to say, what's like the furthest you've been out for a convention?
The furthest so far has been north of Richmond. I don't remember exactly where.
Yeah, that's not too, I mean, that's like, I mean, that's far. We haven't even gone outside our state. Yeah, I mean,
that drive, it was still like a 3-hour drive, but like,
was that the IPMS one? Where like when we went to IPMS and you went to GalaxyCon?
No, that was Richmond. No, this one was this one was in February. Oh, this might have been this year.
I was gonna say, was that the last convention? Because I remember it was kind of like at the like literal start of all this shit.
Yeah, no. So GalaxyCon, I think, was the actual last convention that we did this year, and I mean that was an amazing one. There was a lot going on.
They had
a lot. They had set up like their wrestling ring inside the same area as the dealer/artist alley. So like,
oh, there's probably a fuck ton of people there.
Oh, there were so many people. It was really good traffic. And we were in a really good spot too. But But no, the other one was I don't remember. Again, I don't remember exactly where it was. It was I think it was Big Lick Comic Con in Roanoke. So maybe it was not as far out as Richmond, but like we drove
pretty far.
We drove through the night, through the mountains, through snow.
Fuck that, dude. Fuck that.
It was bonkers.
That is absolutely fucked. I would not. I mean, I would, but
I
cannot imagine doing. Dude, I can't. I get so fucking paranoid driving in like, I mean, living in Florida for most of my life, like driving in fucking hurricane weather and shit. Scary. And I can't do fucking, I can't do heights. And I hate riding in a car that's like going in the mountains and shit, which is ironic because I love Initial D and that's all in the mountains. But, if I'm driving, I'm like so paranoid that I just like, I become a really good driver because I'm just concentrating on not looking over the side of the fucking mountain.
Dude,
like,
well,
it wasn't it during the snow.
Well, once we got into the mountain, like we were surrounded by trees, so the snow didn't actually get to us, but, that's good. Like leading into that scary part, it was snowing, but, that was terrible. A wild ass ride, man. Like, obviously, no lights anywhere, and we were just like going through freaking hollers, just like up and down.
You've
and
never
all
been
around.
Here, right?
You've yeah, never no. Been to and, that area. And this was the only route that the GPS would take us.
Jesus, like that's it. That's the one thing about doing like new conventions and new areas. It can even be the same convention. Like, there's Galaxy Cons. What it used to be called SuperCon, and then the company changed it for some dumb reason to GalaxyCon.
It switched hands. Like somebody bought and
it was a bought out kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the generic. You can't go to Comic Con. Here's the next best thing is this. And they get a fuck ton of celebrities.
And I mean, it's a good convention. It's a lot of fun to go to.
Yeah. It's especially if like you're super into meeting like actors and voice actors and comic book dudes and shit. Like, especially if you're into wrestling. Like, I don't fuck with wrestling that much.
Oh my God.
I love, I mean, it's ironic because I love Kamen Rider and Sentai and Tokusatsu, which is literally just over dramatic stories of dudes in suits fighting each other.
Right.
But like, I mean, I liked wrestling when I was a kid and then I kind of fell out of it, but there's an astronomical amount of wrestling dudes that go to this thing.
Dude, so I didn't go to any of the wrestling matches in Virginia, but all the ones that I've been to in Raleigh during GalaxyCon have been so much fun. Like, yeah. all those people show up in like not just costume but cosplay. So like,
yeah, go hard.
Yeah, you're actually rooting for like the Red Ranger or like one of the dudes from Cobra Kai or a G.I. Yeah. Joe or something.
And usually like all the dudes I've met are super fucking nice.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into, it wasn't Billy, but like one of the other which like people are, I always fucking piss people off about this, but like I don't fucking care about the American Power Rangers. I grew up with it. Was tight. It was dope. It got me into like liking the Beetleborgs and all that shit, but like watching Juku B Fighter and like Sentai shows and like the actual Sentai show that like the Alien Rangers are based off of, it's so much better. I wish they just wouldn't fucking change it. But I ran into like one Blue Ranger, and I didn't really ever watch a show as a kid, and I was just like, hey, I was like, ah, you're fucking one of the Power Ranger dudes. He's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, that's tight, man. I was like, I'm, you know, more into Sentai shit. He's like, same. I was like, yo, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's all I watch. Like, I can't watch a shit I act in. It's weird. And I was like, dude, you're tight as fuck. I was like, not because you're a Power Ranger, but like you're openly admitting that you fuck with the Japanese shit way more. But like, you can run into these fucking dudes and just have a normal, like, as long as you're a fucking normal dude or girl or they or whatever, they will have a great conversation with you. Because like the thing is, they are dealing with, and this is when it gets like into like kind of like the weird realm of people don't realize the crowd. Unless you go there just to people watch.
Yeah.
And I think the first Animazement that me and you did a panel together, which was for Animazement, I don't remember what year, like probably 2017.
Sounds about right.
And we did the intro to Gundam and intro to Gunpla with John and Brandon and some other people. And I was just there to like film that, be a part of it. And then I remember walking around with my friend Mira and a bunch of their friends, and all I did was people watch, and it was fucking great. It is so much fun just to go to a fucking convention, especially whenever they come back, because you know there's going to be so many fucking people, and you just kind of sit there. And like, the past couple of ones I would do it is like on our days off, we would just get fucking stoned and just like look at these people, and you can spend an hour just sitting there and pointing out all the different fucking like types of people and characters and shit. But there's always the super fan that wants to say the most obnoxious shit. I saw it with Brian O'Halloran. Everyone's like, are you supposed to be here today? 37 in a row. Like, they kept saying Clerk lyrics and shit.
Or
Clerk quotes and shit at him. And like, I can just see the soul leaving his body. I don't care if he says he enjoys it or whatever the case is. I sat there for most of the day because I could see his booth from where we're at. And I was watching the soul drain from him, as I'm sure he's also watching the soul drain from all the vendors.
Yeah.
Because it is fucking, it's the wild, wild west. It fucking really is, dude. It's so weird. It's so hard to explain, trying to explain a convention to someone that's never been. It doesn't make any sense. It makes me sound crazy.
It's almost like uncharted territory. Yearly,
absolutely
doesn't matter how many times you've been, how many people are the same, like it's always going to be some wild shit going on, and you're always going to see different people
and body fluids.
Oh jeez. All right, that's the after hours portion.
After hours, I've seen it during the fucking day. I've seen it through like the fucking vending hours and shit. That's another thing too that's kind of weird. So people may not know is that certain conventions will have certain hours for the vendors to be open, which I think is kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Because it creates this like Black Friday-esque thing where like it's just swarms of nerds coming down these staircases, and you're just like I've been at conventions where like dudes will like play like 300 soundtrack or some shit like that, and they're like preparing for the first assault of the fucking enemy army. One dude was playing like the Lord of the Rings like battle music or some shit.
Jesus.
But I mean, it really is like that though.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get a video of it. I remember being in so much like panic because one of the first convention we did was SuperCon. Mm-hmm. And like that's huge. Like no one does their first convention at that. Again, now granted, this is for Holy Mountain Printing, so like it's a much larger like company than a lot of the ones there, but we've never done conventions, so we were very new at it. But we came with this fucking like our first booth, and all of our booths are always like this because we have to have the most like fucking biggest evil looking booth so people just don't get the wrong idea of us. It was this big, massive corner booth, and we have our 10-foot tall Mecha Godzilla cosplay, and all we see from like the top is just fucking people running like in chaos. And the guy next to us is like, yo, y'all said this is your first joint. I was like, yeah. He's like, fucking watch this shit. Then no one's going to stop at you. He's like, they're just gonna blow right past us. And sure as shit, hundreds, actually thousands of people just run right past all the vendors. We weren't even fucking there.
Yep.
And they just run to line up to get in whatever line it is for whatever celebrity. And it's fucking weird because you could have like, I have free guns and no one would stop.
Gotta be like, first to meet to meet the 10th doctor for the 10th time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking wild. But then after that, it swarms of people coming to boost and shit like that. I don't even remember what we were talking about originally, Tino. This is not good. Usually Brandon is here and he's like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing you're talking about. I don't fucking remember. We're just going to keep going.
Yeah, fine. That's fine.
That's fine.
Origin stories leading into, we're about where we want to be, I think.
Yeah, I think we're about there. This is a little behind the scenes of the podcast. You know,
being an artist, Ellie, that's one thing that I never really paid attention to, I guess. Like,
yeah. Well, because like usually the artist alley is near the autograph signings. Usually, at least the ones I've been to.
Yeah, but it depends on where you're placed and what is around you and in front of you and to your side. And like I notice when people start trickling in, but like I guess I don't get to see that first mad rush because I haven't usually been next to where people line up.
People fall down and shit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like some dude like fucking bust ass into our booth and I was just like, dude, it's fine. Go meet whatever person you want to sign your dumb little pop figure. Just go for it, dog. We'll have a whole episode about how the Funko Pops have ruined the toy designer toy industry and that whole thing. But that's a different story. I mean, it kind of also does relate to because I remember very vividly some of the first conventions. Actually, the first convention I went to was an Ultimate Comic one.
Yeah.
In Durham. This is before
Bull City Comic Con, baby.
Yeah, dude. That was my first NC1. This is before I even had the idea of working at Holy Mountain Printing. I was doing IT work. And it was dope. It was really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it was right when Funko Pops came out. And even myself, I had some. And it was just like nothing but these dudes selling this shit. And it's still like that.
That's one
thing. That's the one thing that sucks, dude.
That's the one thing I don't miss from conventions is seeing like three or four or five different pop vendors.
Just walls of shitty plastic.
And it's not like I could see a difference in what they have either.
No,
but I guess that's not for me.
it's a white and yellow blur
of
just boxes of shit. The only convention I've been to where I haven't seen pops was ironically the designer toy convention in Asheville.
Oh, great.
the only pop I saw there was like someone made a custom one or some shit. It was cool. It was better than anything fucking Funko's ever done.
Nice.
But fucking yeah. Origin story. So, our start's pretty easy. before I started working at Holy Mountain Printing, Danny already, the owner, already kind of planned on doing a convention that year. And so I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. I mean, it was the first year. And so we made this fucking huge booth, set up all the shirts, set up Mecha Godzilla. We went, literally the first one they did, cause I wasn't in the planning process for it. At least not in the very beginning, was for Supercon. It was just like, go big or go home.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, I've never seen you guys at conventions. Like, yeah, this is our first one. They're like, what? I was like, yeah, it's not hard to make your booth look good. Like, everyone here is not, they don't bring their own booth. They just set up whatever tablecloth they got and then they call it a day. And it was fun. We sell a lot of like our non-band shirts. And then the idea was for this year was we're going to have, in a sense, two booths. We always go really unnecessarily hard. For Galaxy or Super, yeah, GalaxyCon, we bought three booths, I think. We were going to set up like a, in a sense, like a strip mall of just all of our shit. Mm-hmm. We're going to have one for the shirts, one for our toys, and one for the comic book. Same thing for all the other conventions. We would buy like three or four tables. And that was going to be the first year where we actually sell toys and shit. Because like before, I think the last year we did one, we brought like our skateboards and pins and stickers, and I brought like some of my own personal like model kits and shit to sell, and people mm-hmm. were stoked on it. And we were going to do a whole bunch of toy. This is the one thing that people don't realize with the Corona shit is like, yeah, conventions are canceled, but like a lot of companies rely on conventions. We don't, but a lot of like companies and artists like conventions as their job. Like it's like being in a touring band. It's actually literally like being in a touring band, but I would say more difficult because instead of just keeping track of merch and where the next venue is, depending on what you do, you're like trying to reorder shit through distributors to mm-hmm. meet you at the next state.
And there's
that's fucked.
There was one toy vendor there at almost every convention I've been to that's their whole thing.
And just like straight up selling fucking toys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the, every convention, it's not like make or break every convention for them. It's more like, moving stock along, and
yeah,
sometimes there's too much overflow of one thing and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Other, I mean, times sometimes they run real low.
Sometimes that's good. I mean, because then you get fucking put a little discount on it, fucking sell that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a good mix of stuff too, because you get in it's like touring vendors that are like, they have it down to a fucking T. I saw a couple set up this elaborate grid panel booth. I mean, it was like 2 10, usually most conventions they'll give you your space based on 10-foot long tables.
Yeah.
And they had, I think they had about 20 feet. And I shit you not, I took them like 20 minutes to set up their huge, like 15-foot tall space. And then I'm watching like DC and like Marvel official booths like struggle getting the tablecloth on their fucking table. I'm just like, what the fuck's happening here? Who's the real professionals?
Oh man.
It's not Marvel.
You know what's wild to me? Speaking of books and comic books, I've seen more, and I have tabled next to more people this last two years, that are selling their own comics or selling their novels.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
That's just wild to me. I had no idea that was such a big growing thing. Now, granted, I'm more plugged into like the indie comic scene than like indie novel stuff, but like that's still wild that I have seen more people doing that in Artist Alley than I have before.
I think it kind of makes sense because they're, I mean, God, can you imagine how like whenever conventions come back, we're going to say that a lot during these episodes, but
oh man,
imagine what Artist Alley is going to look like, because you have, I mean, shit, even we did it. We made our own fucking comic book and magazine. There's so many people that are getting into like print media and like shit they can do at home and comic books and novels and writing their own magazines and books and shit, that there's going to be such a demand for tables at artist alleys because people have to move all this shit. And I think we might even see like conventions that are just straight up artist alley tables, like no vendors.
I mean, that would be dope.
I'm about it because like, if you think about it, most people selling shirts, for the most part are like, quote unquote, their designs. There's mm-hmm. there's a whole, like any convention you go to, you're going to find three things guaranteed. I'll put my money on it. You're going to find one dude that's selling cut vinyl decals of your favorite fandom, Marvel comic book superheroes.
Yes.
You're going to find the pop vendor. Yes. Easy. No problem.
You'll then spot them from the front of the convention.
Oh yeah. Cause it'd be a fucking huge wire grid of just nothing but pops. And there's this like lonely guy sitting there that looks like pissed off in the world.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see a t-shirt vendor. And the last one is usually varying degrees because you'll have the iron on direct to garment one where they just order whatever distributor shirts they can get. Mm-hmm. You'll have the sometimes they're an artist alley, sometimes they're not. It's like the one dude selling the one t-shirt design he spent 5 years working on and no one wants to buy it. And then sometimes if you're lucky, you'll find a Holy Mountain Printing-esque company someone selling their own original designs plus like fandom inspired shit. It's insane. It's every fucking convention.
Can I do a shout out real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm sure they'll never listen to this, but there's a vendor that we've tabled next to or near last year named Jelly Momo, I think.
Dude, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen them. Me and Anna bought a couple of their shirts. Like they have some really cute designs. It's like night and day compared to Holy Mountain stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Just by the name, it sounds night and day.
But like we tabled across from them a few conventions ago, and they were so cool. And I think they weren't out of any particular place. I think they're actually like a collective as well. But like they've got some really cute stuff, and they started adding Gundam stuff recently.
Yeah, a lot of people have done that. That's gonna be a thing.
Yeah,
we'll have some competition in the next couple of years. That's fine. That's whatever.
Fine. That's what we want.
It's all good. Yeah, whatever. Well, speaking of that, like of people that like you meet and shit, mm-hmm. I remember. I think it was rewind back to Animazement 2017 or 18. I don't remember. It's whatever Animazement vlogs on my fucking YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I think the first day we ran into Melly. I forget her Instagram handle. But like just like it was a small girl like struggling to get all of her Artist Alley shit inside the building. We helped her load her shit.
Yeah, I remember her. Oh, she was so like, cool.
To give you a scope of like the people that are in Artist Alleys, it's not just like regular hometown people like selling like comics or whatever. Is like a lot of like big name artists that I want to say big name, but popular artists that mm-hmm. they can't say, oh, I'm so and so and I've drawn this, give me an artist comic book table.
Yeah.
It's just like someone's like, I have a good online following, that's it. And I guess if you're here, I remember we helped her load and shit, and she was like super fucking grateful, and we like traded, you know, networked and shit. Mm-hmm. Cause that was the convention you were like helping me learn how to do in-person networking. Like I can do it online, but I was like, I'm completely ass with like remembering to give people like my business cards and shit.
Oh man. I was helping you do that.
Yeah, dude, you were helping me with that the first year. You're like, every time we would meet someone, you're like, give them your business card. I was like, oh shit, here's my business card. I build robots and stuff. And you're like, yeah, there you go, dog. Okay,
as long as I actually helped, because I forget to do that shit all the time.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fucking, dude, I'm terrible about it. People will come to the Holy Mountain booth. They're like, yeah, you got a card? Someone's like, fuck. I was like, here's a sticker. And it's got our name on it. So just Google that and see what happens. You know, kind of go from there, dog.
Feed that into your algorithm. There you go.
Yeah, figure that one out there, bud.
People in our society are, I mean, from my point of view, they're mostly have fun, you know?
Yeah, I would hope everyone there's having fun.
Well, you know, like you got your dealer alley that's, they're there to sell, you know? And I mean, Artist Alley, it's kind of a stigma. Like Artist Alley, artists, I see a lot of talk online about artists like feeling bad about like selling stuff for money because it makes them look bad. And then there's the people that actually think that artists shouldn't sell their stuff for money.
Fucking, I wish I could punch everyone in the fucking head that thinks that.
All like, the time. All
dude,
the time.
It's so fucking annoying. It's like, oh, you're just doing,
all the time.
You're just drawing. Why and is it, like, why should I pay for it?
I realize it's bad to perpetuate that by being like, I feel bad about saying that we're there to make money.
Yeah, no, dude.
We
like,
are there to make
sell
money.
Your shit, dude.
There
yeah,
to sell
play
shit.
Art.
But I mean part of that is having fun as well.
Yeah.
And like when I've got dudes coming up to me with a flask, like you wanna do a little bit of this, make the day go by faster? I mean, I would if I could, but I'm also on the job, you know?
Yeah. There's also some dudes that like don't take even vending there as a vendor, they don't take it as a job.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I always thought to be weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like, especially if you're an artist, I feel like you're putting yourself literally out there. Like you're like, this mm-hmm. is who I am as a person. If I come to your booth and you're fucking Leahy the fucking drunk clown, like I don't fucking want to talk to you unless you are Mr. Leahy. Like,
yeah.
And I've dealt with dudes like that, especially like in the vendor side of shit. You get all kinds of fucking people like that. Cause it all the time. There was one vendor that like they would trade off who was going to be drunk for that day.
Oh my God.
And like the person who was drunk would like fucking grab orders and shit like that. And they would always like come to our booth and shit. I was like, God, you're fucking annoying. Like, go away, man. Like,
so
I can deal with people being stoned and like working conventions, but like you're just obnoxious when you're drunk working a convention.
So we're getting to the portion of the discussion where we kind of air some grievances.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is the, we'll call this the, end of the episode grievance airing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there was one recently, actually, I think it was last year at GalaxyCon.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
We were near some dudes that we couldn't tell if they were like partners or if they were like friends already and just ended up like boothing like between each other or whatever.
Yeah.
But they had like code phrases for when they saw attractive women. And it was the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen. Anna was sitting right next to them. Like I was on the other side of Anna and she had to catch the brunt of that, unfortunately, just listening to it. But oh my God.
Well, like playing people watching games is common, but it's usually like how many fucking like dudes wearing that Walmart Deadpool shirt. I forgot what the fuck it says, but it's like the convention staple shirt.
Yeah.
Like playing that game is fine, but like catcalling women with code names just sounds like a bunch of fucking virgins.
Yeah, they were,
you guys are next to a bunch of assholes.
They were bad. They were real bad. That was not a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's like, this is definitely airing of the grievances. Cause that's like one of the weird shitty things is like dealing with people that don't know how to deal with like the opposite sex, and in both ways, like you got fucking like, hey, you're real fucking awkward there, bud.
Yeah.
And then you got like, that's a little predatory there, bud.
Oh,
like,
man.
You get the two different levels, and it's fucking wild to see how people like behave when they see, you know, a fucking cosplayer wearing, you know, not a lot of clothing. It's like, it's one extreme or the other. It's either like, what would Jesus think? And then it's like, oh, fucking inappropriate things that shouldn't be said on a podcast, because like in vendors will like be blunt with it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fucking care, but there's also vendors that are super respectful about shit like that. And like, I mean, we always try to be, we're always trying to be on our best behavior, because it's like, that's, I mean, people's first impressions of you are going to be like their last, especially at a convention.
Oh,
like
yeah.
If you don't make that first impression, fucking they may never come back, and that may be the only time you literally see them. And so
a lot of networking for artists and vendors at convention is word of mouth too. It's not just handing your business card to a fellow artist. It's like someone comes up and is like really interested in your stuff, and you talk to them, you have a good time, and you relate to them on levels and stuff, and then they come back with their friends, and they come back with their family, and more people find you.
That's when you know you've made that fucking that good connection. Next episode, I'm gonna get a list of like people we've met and shit, because we've met some really fucking cool vendors and cool artists out there, and I definitely want to shout them out. But like those are the relationships that I'd be like, you kind of make your like convention buddies.
Yeah,
it's kind of like being in like public school where you're like, you got to find your crowd, and like wild, because like you would, I mean, especially in the vendor area, we would meet like the weird shady toy dudes that like, you know, they're scalping shit and they're fucking, you know, half the shit's probably fucking stolen. And then like the super nice, the booth next to us or some shit, like, yo, like, yeah, they're kind of fucking weird, right? I was like, yeah, dude, what's their deal? And like, they'll tell you a legend of how, like, you know, they came to be or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I would say, especially at least in the vendor area, like all the people we met were always super fucking nice. We would go to their booths, and they would come to our booths. Like, that's the one thing too, is like, if anyone, I mean, again, we're going to say this on these episodes a lot, when conventions come back, say the line, when conventions come back, we'll just like, I'll get like an air horn noise or something for every time I'm about to say that.
Dude, I will cry at the first convention I table at after they come back. I will be crying.
Well, like, it was, I mean, like, you spend some money there because, like, you get to see all the vendors, like, putting their shit up first, and that's a whole thing. Well, that is, like, I can't wait till we get into the episode of, like, loading shit, but fucking, like, trading with people, and, like, that's the kind of networking that goes far beyond just like, here's my business card and that's it. It's like when you get to the level where you're like trading shit with people, like we would trade shirts for like art, or we would trade like our screen print posters for like other people's screen posters.
Dude, that's happened to me more and more in the last few years, people coming up looking for trades. And sometimes not saying this is a bad thing, but sometimes it's just to get rid of some stock that they were trying to get rid of already.
Oh yeah, we definitely did that.
I'm rocking some buttons from like 3 years ago on my book bag that I got in a trade at the end of the weekend.
Well, like, the thing is, I'm sure you remember those buttons more than you would if you just ordered a button online.
Yeah. Because they came up and we talked for like 15 minutes, and like they browsed our wares and we settled on like what we were trading and stuff, and they were super cool. And like, we follow each other all over the place now. So
that's I will post his Instagram somewhere. I'm terrible with fucking names, and especially with people's usernames. Something. He did a lot of 3D printed stuff, and this was like before everyone and their fucking brother had a 3D printer, so it was dope. And I remember getting like, I still have he had a Boba Fett pin that was like this like mosaic, I don't know, tile,
mosaic
tile style. And it was so, I mean, it was just something we traded for. I'll trade for that. But I've always like had such an attachment to that pin because like meeting him, he's such a fucking cool dude. And like learning how that's the biggest thing, is like all the vendors and artists and shit, they always like, they want to tell you how they get started, especially if they're real passionate about it and they're not just reselling shit like like toys and shit.
Yeah, it's coming in the conversation.
That's a boring one. It's like, what do you do? Well, I go to Target and I buy this $20 toy and then I sell it for $40. Okay, that's fun. Oh, I don't fucking want to deal with you, dog. You know? But like, I mean, there's even toy vendors that like one guy we met has nothing but just like, it was like a gold mine of just tokusatsu shit, everything from Showa to Heisei. And like, he had a genuine passion for this shit. Like, he'd be like, yeah, is that a Mirror Man figure? Like, yeah, fucking, you know about Mirror Man? Like, he'd be like, you go nuts and shit. But having that trade connection with these vendors and artists and even celebrities. We did a trade with Brian O'Halloran for, I mean, it was, there'll be a story for the next one, but like, we'll talk about like celebrity meetings and shit. I'm sure you guys want to hear about that. There's a lot, we have actually a lot of stories about that, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But like having that connection is, it's kind of like going to an IPMS and stuff where like you're really, I mean, especially if you're an artist alley, like you're putting yourself out there, like what you do in your spare time, like what your true passions are. You're just like vomiting it onto your fucking table, hoping that complete literal strangers, both attendees and vendors, like come by and are like, yo, I fuck with this. Like, I mean, for a vendor, yeah, it's dope. But like, I'm sure as an artist and artist alley, having someone come by and being like, yo, I fuck with your shit, do you want to trade? I'm sure that's like, that's, I mean, obviously it's financially not better than money, but I'm sure sometimes it's better than fucking money.
Yeah, it's, makes you feel good.
It makes the serotonin in my brain go.
It shoots that serotonin straight into your heart, you know?
Yeah, dude. It does. It's fucking rad, man. It's cool to see. Cause like I've seen, we always, me and Rachel always do like shifts of where when it's slow, I would go, you know, try and shop, and then I would come back and she would go out. And like when I would go out, I would come back with like a really weird toy and then like a bunch of like buttons and stickers I got in Artist Alley. And then like, it's always great when Rachel leaves because she'll go out for like 30 minutes. I'm like, where the fuck is she? And she'll come running back. She's like, I need this. I need this shirt and like $20 and a bottle of water. I'm like, what? And she's like, made this like crazy fucking trade with someone for like a dead fucking animal skull or some shit. And I'm just like, okay, where are you finding these people? Like, what the fuck, dude?
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, fucking that like vendor and artist connection with people is like, and it's people like you'll have like a genuine connection with for years. I mean, like I don't think I've talked to Melly for at least a year or two, but like that's someone that I would just like occasionally check in with, like, yo, like how's shit going and stuff, and like she'd be really excited to talk about it. And it's like for someone that we met for like 10 minutes kind of thing, but we all had that connection and shit, like that, those bonds usually last a lot longer than, you know, just fucking going online and buying something from a store and just being like, oh, that's cool. Like it's a different fucking experience. And I've also caught myself buying more art and stuff than I would if I was browsing online.
Yeah. Oh man. I've got so much art. I need to get a portfolio to put it all into. So I've got like a book. And I talk about doing that a lot because that's the dream that I have for all this art that I buy.
It's just fucking just to have one wall where it's just plastered full of framed art for like all your friends.
When I move into a house, there's going to be an office for me and it's going to look like that. It's just going to be plastered with artwork from all of the people I've met and all of my friends.
Dude, let's do that for the fucking, we'll do that for the studio, the cutting mat studio. We'll just plaster with all the homies' art from like conventions and shows we did. Oh man, we were about to have our first ever live episode at NCGMC this year.
Oh man, don't remind me.
That's a bummer, dude. I mean, like one, I mean, it's not, there's a little bit hard of me that's not, because it's like, I never did a live podcast before in front of people. I mean, I played shows and bands and shit. That's easy. Cause I just fucking make monster noises and people go, oh yeah, that's, that sounds like Goldar. That's fine. But sitting there and doing a podcast, like we all have kind of like our own little routines and rituals. Like I always have like orange juice with me. I'm usually always fucking baked out of my mind, but this time it's like people, I mean, we actually, I just realized like, unless there's a technical difficulty, we hardly ever like have to cut or anything like that, which is nice. But, so these are going to be, fun little side episodes that me and Tino do, and we're going to bring on, other convention people. like yes. our partners, people we've done conventions with. We've both met so many great artists and vendors man. That I would love to have on here. Maybe get some like 501st and like charity people on here. Yes, I've met a lot of good people on there.
There's one person, if she's got a break from school, I'd like to get her on maybe.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Like you said before, this, I mean, doesn't have too much to do with scale modeling. A lot of what we're talking about will be at conventions that are like IPMS and shit like that, where we've had like the big RDU cons, and because that's a whole nother experience of fucking vending at a scale modeling. That's a whole nother fucking that's gonna be a shit show. Much like vending at a fucking scale modeling convention is a shit show.
Oh yeah.
Especially when you're the only person underneath the age of 40. one of these things. That's for a future one. But we have no idea what we're calling this, so I'm not going to say what it is. And we'll figure it out later the next one.
Dropping the voice clip at the end here.
Yeah, here's a little plug-in. Beep! By the way, we called it so-and-so.
Yeah.
if you see, now it's going to be confusing because people thought that was the name of it with the beep, and it's not.
Yeah.
We'll think of something like super dorky and clever, like loading at 5 or fucking some dumb shit like that.
Oh, my God.
Or tales from fucking Artist Alley or some shit.
Tales from the show floor. Ooh.
Ooh, fucking fancy, bud. I like that. But hope you guys enjoy this. Like I said before at the start of the episode, we're going to be fucking cranking out some episodes and content. And then come like end of January, we're going to have our like full on like production studio. It's going to be located in me and Rachel's new house. So we're really excited for that. I mean, granted, it might just be like me and Tino sitting 6 feet apart while Bailey and Brandon are remote. But hopefully hopefully that changes.
We'll soon see. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/ oh fuck, what is it? Is it the cutting mat? I don't fucking know. Just Google the cuttingmatpodcast.com and there's a link to the Patreon there and you can fucking check it out.
/ the cutting mat podcast.
There we go. We do a lot of crazy shit for our Patreon members. I mean, we do a screen printed shirt like every 3 to 4 months. Fucking for $2 you get a whole vinyl sticker pack sent every month. Mm-hmm. And we do crazy, we did a printed notebook for like a field notebook. Soon we're actually maybe in the process of publishing there will be a Cutting Mat magazine coming out. So 2021.
Is this going to be like a magazine like Thrasher, or is this going to be like a zine?
It's going to be like the size of a zine, but in the style of like a Thrasher or like an art magazine. It's going to be very on par to the Holy Mountain Printing magazine, WDW3, which stands we do what we want.
Yeah.
Also look out in the January issue of Thrasher, because we have not the Cutting Mat, but Holy Mountain Printing has an ad in Thrasher fucking magazine, which is wild to think that there's something out there in Thrasher that has to do with our company, which is fucking awesome. But
dope as hell.
Yeah, we're working on a Cutting Mat magazine. Phil from the Premonition of Paint podcast and Rachel, my girlfriend, are both going to be doing a lot of the writing on it. And we're going to be interviewing and talking with not just scale model builders, but miniature painters, people that worked in the industry, people that don't have nothing to fucking do with scale modeling, but they just really like Gundams or Warhammer or whatever the fuck we're going to talk about. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But for the next group of larger Patreon rewards, we're working on I don't want to commit to it yet because we got to see if we can do it. But
so this is just an idea.
Just an idea, but we might be helping one of our friends publish a very cool art project that they did, where it's a mass collection of scale model builds that were built around a particular theme, and it has a lot to do with mental health and scale modeling, which is all pretty much what we're about here at the Cutting Mat. So we'll have more information once all that stuff is finalized in there. But yeah, check out the Patreon, join the Discord. We have build nights. We have all kinds of fun in there. It's a great place if you're looking to escape the shitstorm of what is online hobby communities and have a nice little family knit area to hang out in. Tino, you got any fucking closing remarks there, bud?
Yeah, sure.
Please sign us out.
Yeah. So your art is good. You're always going to be improving. It doesn't matter what you're doing, if it's scale modeling, drawing, making comics, filming, whatever it is, it's a constant improvement. Everybody's going to be doing it. Just be aware, you know?
Yeah, that's good advice.
Always be happy with what you make, and just do it badly applies in every situation, not just for scale modeling.
Dude, there's been a bunch of makeup artists using that hashtag.
Oh, yeah?
Lately that we made.
Oh, that's so dope.
I mean, honestly, that's fucking dope. Like, if fucking use it for whatever, because it, like you said, it applies to everything in life, to where if you're not at least like fucking up once or failing at it, you're never going to learn how to improve on it. And that's what we're all about, is self-improvement and doing better by yourself. So fucking sign us off, Tino.
Okay. This has been this convention side episode that we have yet to name. I'm Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. Make those OCs. Send them to me. I want to draw them. I love your OCs. Sitting across from me virtually is Joel. Hello.
Yeah, boy. You already know what it is. It's Uncle Ricky, a.k.a. True Gunpla Boy. I paint toys and I fucking paint model kits and tiny little space dudes. And you can find everything on mainly my Instagram. Website's offline right now. So pick up some fucking cool Gundam shirts and other mecha and sci-fi and fucking dope shit at holymountainprinter.com. And yeah, fucking load out the shit to the fucking car, bud. That shit sucks at conventions. I fucking hate loading shit out to the cars. But go ahead and load this podcast out.
Thank you for joining us. You've got 2 hours to pack up and leave. Don't block the doors. Have a good one.
Please get the fuck out. Our convention floor is what they really want to say.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That shit sucks.
No pizza can hold Han Solo.